The witness has risen to take the oath.
Mr. Head, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Let Charles. Would you state your full name?
Donald Head.
And what is your occupation?
I'm a correction officer.
At Attica?
At Attica.
And how old are you?
33.
And how long have you been a correction officer at Attica?
9 years.
And where are you from?
I'm from Attica.
What is your job as a correction officer?
I have a gang that works for me, the Cole Gang, and we have specific duties that we carry out.
And what are the duties that your gang carries out?
Every day we take the trash that is to be burned, and we incinerate that and empty the ashes out of the powerhouse. Any coal cars that come in, we have to unload, keep our area clean.
How many men work for you?
At the present, 14.
14 inmates?
Yes, sir.
And prior to September, how many men worked for you?
I had 31 in the gang before.
Are you doing the same work with 14 men today that you did with 31?
Yes, I am.
How are you able to do that?
Well, prior to last September, there were so many people in the institution that the job were padded, and there were more men available, and they had to have something to do, so they put them on different work gangs.
Mr. Head, many inmates have told us that you were what they call a good officer. I wonder whether you can give us an explanation of what it is that you do that might lead people to conclude as they do.
I work with a small gang. Like I say, I have 14 before I had 31. I work with them every day. We work every day, 7 days a week. And I'm in a position where I can relate a little better with them, I believe, than the average officer in the institution who doesn't have the same individuals every day.
How do you treat the men who work for you?
Well, I try to treat them all fair, which is my position, is what I'm supposed to do. The inmates who work for me, I try to give them a sense of accomplishment in their position.
How do you do that?
Well, when an inmate comes on the gang, I outline his duties to him. Then I allow him to pick up and become a part of the gang. If he refuses to do this on his own, then I coax him a little bit. And if he still refuses to do this, I think the other inmates have a big influence on this, and they show him the advantages of working for me, and they, if he still doesn't want to, he eventually usually leaves by himself.
Now, what are the advantages of working for you?
Well, we have like I say, it's a small gang, and it is a closely knit gang. The inmates work together a lot, and we have showers in the area where they can take a shower every day. In the summer, we have gardens, and which is a big thing. They get to grow a few tomatoes and some lettuce and cucumbers and stuff, and they enjoy this a lot.
You have a coffee pot?
Yes, we do have a community coffee pot. Everybody chips in, and we have coffee every day.
What are your men, your inmates, call you when no supervisor is around?
Well, I have a very lax attitude with the gang when there's no supervisory staff there, and we get along more on a personal basis than on anything else.
They call you by your first name or your nickname?
Oh, they have on occasion. Yes, they do.
In fact, didn't you tell me that you encouraged them to do it?
I try to, when we're alone, when we are together, I do, because I feel it involves a more personal attitude.
What is your nickname?
Largo.
Largo?
Yes.
And you call your inmates by their nicknames or first names?
Oh, yes.
Now, do you take an interest in your men's problems, personal problems?
I try to as much as I can within the system. If they have a monetary problem, they aren't getting the right amount of money or something, I try to straighten it out. Or if they're having a communications problem with somebody, I try to handle it. Or a clothing problem.
I'm interested in really what a man who is motivated to help an inmate can really do to help him. If an inmate comes to you with a problem and says that he hasn't been hearing from his family, what can you do?
Well, there's not much I can do in that area because I'm not allowed to communicate with his family. I certainly can't call him up and tell him he has a problem or something, but I can try to channel him in the right direction to help himself more than just not knowing what to do.
Would you like to have more freedom to solve some of these problems or help with these problems?
In what way?
Well, for example, to be able to communicate if you felt that it was appropriate.
I don't believe you could do this on a scale where it would be any good. If I could help, I would like to, but at the present system, there's no way you can do it in that area.
Now, you've seen men who worked for you return to the prison on parole violations or new crimes.
Yes, sir.
How does it affect you?
Well, you have a sense of disappointment when you see somebody go out who you think can make it and shows a personality which you think can go on the street and make a living for themselves. But when they come back, I think on both sides there's a sense of, failure to each other, maybe. I have had men come back that have worked for me for a length of time and go out and come back, and maybe they come back to work for me, but they usually we don't get the same rapport that we had before, or maybe it's their sense of failure to me, or maybe I feel that I didn't help them enough, and or maybe I give up a little bit on them. That may be true too. But we just don't seem to get together like we did before on a personal basis. Many times they just move themselves off the gang because of this feeling.
Do you make it a practice not to inquire about the crime that
I don't want to know. I don't want to know what they're there for. I don't want to know for the simple reason I'm afraid it'll create an animosity between me and them. I want the inmate to treat me as I think I should be treated within the institution. I don't want to be prejudiced by what he did to come there.
And how do you feel you should treat the inmates? Do you think you can treat them as something other than convicts?
Well, you have to help them, I think. They are convicts, certainly they are. They know they are. You don't have to remind them of that daily, that they are a convict. You
try to develop a relationship so that it can, the fact that somebody is in there for a crime recedes in your relationship?
Well, I think when they're in there, they become down on themselves a little bit too, where they feel that they're second class. They don't maybe feel that they, and I try not to get them to feel like that, and I try not to let them think like that.
Now, before the uprising, you had 31 men in your gang. How many of them were black and Puerto Rican, if you recall?
I think about 22 to 23 were. I never had any difficulty communicating with any ethnic group in there. Of course, it's not on a social level. It's on a level where they're working for me and in the institution.
Now, how frequently have you had occasion to write somebody up?
Not very often. Mainly my keep lock reports are based upon not working. An inmate will be mad at the system for sending him there, and he'll come and he just won't work at all, which creates a problem for me and the fact that the other inmates feel slighted that his man isn't carrying his share of the load.
And do you try to do something before you write him up?
Oh, yes. I talk to him many times before I eventually write him up, which I have occasion to do, but I feel once I start using the disciplinary system within the institution, I lose some rapport with the inmate.
Now, you have this relationship that you've described. You also have some conditions that are very different from the conditions that other correction officers have, such as showers, coffee, pot, garden, smaller number of men, and you get to work with these men every day. But still, with all of that, how did you really learn to understand, even to the extent that you've expressed it on the stand today, the problems of people who've come from such different backgrounds from yours? Did you get any schooling in it, counseling, instruction?
No, I've never had any schooling, but I feel that if you work with people and take an interest in them, all people are basically alike. They will respond to certain actions and reactions, and if you can get a response, then you can be of some use.
Your men work 7 days a week.
Yes, every day.
And today they are doing work that's hard work. Is that fair to say?
Yes, they are. They have, especially the coal cars, when they come in, we have to move them by hand, then we unload them by hand. In the winter, they're frozen. They have to pick them out. There is physical labor involved in my area.
And what is the pay scale?
I have men in all grades. There's 4 grades of pay scale in the institution. I have men in every grade. I think I have 6 in the basic grade. Grade 2 they all go into in my gang because they are a work gang. And then I have inmates in grade 3 and 4.
And what does that go up to?
Grade 2 starts at 30 cents, and every 6 months they get a nickel raise in that position.
What's the, apart from a clerk's job, what's the highest paying job in your detail?
Oh. Well, I have a grade 4 inmate who gets, I believe it's 80 cents a day.
And most of the workers, what do they average?
Like I said, half of the gang, or 6 of the men, come in at grade 2, which is 30 cents. So it would average out somewhere in between that, I imagine, about 40 to 45 cents a day.
Do you consider it adequate?
Not when we're working, no, I don't. I think it's as good a scale as I'm going to get under the present system, but I don't feel it's enough money, really.
And do you sense the problems that your men have in not having enough money in prison?
Well, they all want more money, certainly.
Yeah.
I do, too.
One of the misconceptions, I think, that many people have about the prisons is they feel that you don't really need money in prison, but it helps to have some means.
Oh, certainly, yes.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the fact that your men will work in unloading a coal car. Do you ever pitch in and work alongside your men?
Sometimes I've picked up a shovel. I don't make it a habitual thing. If things are starting to slacken down, we have a big job ahead of us. Sometimes I grab a hold and it seems to be a little inspiration. Maybe it's more in my mind than anything else, but sometimes I get a little mad too and I have little frustrations and I like to work them off.
Now, your men are working there with these heavy coal shovels. Is that right?
Yes, we have.
Are you the only officer there most of the time?
Directly with the inmates, yes, I am.
And you trust your men, even though you're there with...
Well, I would have to. They're all around me. I mean, if I didn't trust them, I would be backed into a corner all day. I wouldn't get anything accomplished.
Have you asked permission at one time to...
Hemispheric opinion
kind of
as to the rightness of our course.
Program.
Finally, the decision had to be implemented. This, too, proved to be a...
...to go out and work with an officer if he would take them. Nothing ever came of it. My gang was real interested, and some of them would like to go out.
And you were ready to take them, weren't you?
Some of them I wouldn't be afraid to take out, yes.
What's your feeling about the number of people in Attica who belong in maximum security institutions?
I think there's a lot that don't. I think the inmates, when they come in, this, of course, Attica is a receiving house for various courts in the area, and they all come to Attica before they send them to a minimum security institution. But I think there's a lot that could be sent to a minimum security that aren't.
All right.
Of course, the state doesn't have as many minimum security institutions as they would like either, I believe.
You talked about taking an interest in your inmates. Have you kept in contact with inmates after they have left the institution?
Well, I've had inmates write me letters, and I have returned the letters. I've had inmates come and see me, and I've been to see a couple of them. But it's not a normal thing because most of my inmates live that work for me. You come from an area further away, say from New York or Albany and Buffalo, and they are in parole situation usually where they have to abide by the rules and they can't make trips. And by the time they get off parole, they forget about me.
What do you get paid?
My pay scale?
Yes.
Well, we just got a raise to grade 14, but... As of the last contract, my pay was about $10,000 a year.
And did you supplement your income by farming or something else?
I have a little farm. I raise some horses, but I don't get any money off it.
Did you?
Not that I'd like to.
Did you ever try to become a sergeant?
I took the test once. Yes, I did.
Did you pass?
Failed miserably. I got a minus 65, I believe.
Whatever your qualities are, they weren't the qualities to elevate you to sergeant.
Not that the state wanted, I believe.
I thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Head, I think that you have an opportunity to make a statement, if you wish, at the conclusion of the commission's questioning, so if you wish to bear that in mind. Mr. Wilbanks, I believe, has a question.
Mr. Head, I'm calling Don, maybe. I've talked to some of the DVR officers, and they tell me that there are occasions when other officers who work outside of DVR will make little comments like, "Did you tuck your kids in tonight?" And the impression is left that, you know, that maybe things are a little bit easier over there, you know, that they treat inmates a little bit differently. Have you experienced any, you seem to be a unique individual, have you experienced any kind of criticism for being too familiar with inmates, either by administrative persons or...
The administration has never criticized me, no. I've had criticism from other officers because of a lax attitude, but I have never been criticized by the administration.
Do you feel that you're going against the grain of the correctional officer culture or feeling?
No.
A large percentage that you feel that don't sympathize with your attitudes? Or?
No, I don't believe so. I think everybody works within the system in their own way. I feel... very strongly that an inmate has to work with other inmates. I believe in the area of rehabilitation, this is the only level that I can work with them on, is to become socially aware of other people and to realize the feelings of other people, and this is the only way I can do it.
Mr. Rothschild?
Mr. Head, you've been dealing with inmates for 9 years, if I understood. We've heard a lot about the changing complexion and the difficulties and the more difficult problems of the new breed of inmate to the old. Have you any comments on that?
I believe the new newer inmates that are coming in feel more strongly against the system. I think you will find in some of the older inmates a sort of attitude that jail's an occupational hazard. And I think that the newer inmates feel more strongly against the incarceration.
But apparently you find you're still able to operate your gang in the same fashion with the new as well as with the old. Is that right?
Well, I hope so. I haven't had any difficulties in that area yet, although there have been some newer inmates who came on the gang who have felt this way, and in the main they will remove themselves from the area rather than being influenced by me. They will get themselves out of the environment and move to another gang.
One other question. I have, ever since this hearing began, have had going through my head a nursery rhyme which I can't place that comes back from my childhood. But it has a line in it that says, "Stones do not a prison make." And it becomes increasingly poignant as I sit here. We talk about the cell block E. We talk about the more liberal aspects. We talk about some of the things that you've talked about today. Does it seem inconceivable to you, from the criterions with which you're looking at your job, that maybe some of the other blocks could in some fashion be used with some of the concepts which we heard this morning in E, which certainly seemed to make it a more compatible place in which the inmates were living? The physical structure does not, in the last analysis, I don't think, a prison make.
I don't believe under the present physical makeup of the institution that it's possible. I think that the institution itself, before these programs are brought in, would have to be phased out and have smaller areas.
The physical size makes it impossible.
Yeah.
The size of C block or B block or D block.
Size of it, yeah.
You couldn't operate it in any other fashion.
You couldn't operate it in a more lax fashion because you need the... I believe it would have to be a smaller area.
It's a maximum prison, and that's the way it is.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilbanks has an additional question.
It's not really a question. Perhaps it is in a way, but Don might want to comment on it. Maybe the public isn't aware that 40 years ago there was a sociological study done of prisons, and they interviewed every inmate in the institution and asked them which officer had the most influence over inmates for rehabilitation. And 40 years ago, the conclusion was unanimously that it was the officers who worked on the gangs closely with inmates. So I think historically that's an interesting point of view of your testimony.
Well, I think it's the only area where you can get involved in a small gang. You've got fewer people to work with. Of course, the fewer you work with, the more involved you get with them.
Bishop Broderick?
Just a procedural question, officer. May an officer, correctional officer, have access to the records of an inmate? You said that you really weren't interested in why a fellow was up there, but could you, without asking him, go to the official record place and...
No, I'm not supposed to go find out.
You wouldn't do that? Or you couldn't do it?
Well, I couldn't, no. But I could, if I really wanted to, probably find out.
Sure.
But I'm not interested in it, so I don't bother.
Thanks.
Mr. Head, do you wish to make any separate statement that is not in response to particular questions? No, Mr. Lyman has a question.
You invited a question by your statement to Mr. Rothschild about how, in order to do the types of things that were talked about in the DVR program, these institutions would have to be phased out. How big do you think the New York institution should be?
500 to 600, I would say, would be a nice number with an adequate staff that you could work with.
And why no bigger?
I think when you get bigger, you lose more contact with the inmate. There's a great deal of close supervision that has to be maintained, and the bigger you get, the less you can supervise.
And while we talked a lot about your personal relationships with your inmates, I don't think any of us used the word rehabilitation when we questioned you, and I wonder whether you would care to comment on what you tried to do toward preparing people for return to society.
Well, rehabilitation, I believe, has to come from within the inmate. I think you can show him the rights and wrongs, which he may have known or may not have known, but he has to, I think, become aware of his fellow man more than anything else. I think he has to realize that other people have feelings and other people have hopes and dreams just like he does. And this is why what I try to instill in the small gang that I can is that they have to work together to make out in this world, and if they can do that in a small area like that, they can do it on the street.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Head, is there something further you would like to tell the Commission and the public?
I can't think of anything immediate except that money is the key to all these programs. I think this has been harped upon numerous occasions, but it is a hard fact that the funds are needed to institute programs, to have the supervision, and to have the counseling that you can give to the inmate.
Some of us, Officer Head, think that men are also the key to it.
Well, sometimes we help, sometimes we don't.
Thank you very much for making yourself so freely available to us today. We appreciate
it. Thank you.